The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis Pip Pip Cheerio McElroy.
And I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy, his grown-up brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to all of
us. And Justin and Margaret Mitchell, the author of Gone with the Wind.
Happy
birthday to us. Welcome to a birthday spectacular. All the brothers have birthdays today. Well, tomorrow.
Statistically speaking, all the brothers have birthdays.
All the brothers have birthdays. It's our very special birthday celebration, except you're getting all the presents. And that is comedy and insight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Parker Posey, too.
It's Parker Posey's birthday.
Parker Boy, that's a funny... Posey, congrats.
Tara Reid.
And Tara Reid.
Okay.
Everybody, all the stars.
Oh, the stars are shining tonight on, when the episode comes.
Stars in the sky,
yeah,
because they're all here celebrating their November 8th birthdays.
Now, I do want to say, when the episode comes out, it will be November 7th.
Yeah. What's your point?
And also, the last time your guys' birthday fell on election day, it was a big stinker, Rudy, wasn't it?
Hey, Griff, thanks for reminding me, bud. I totally didn't remember that. Thank you so much, Griffin.
And it's important for me to remember, that I had that election day is November 8th because I'm not thinking about that every second of
every
day.
Well, the only thing is, you guys are like, it's the best day. And I'm like, you guys are in a panic spiral right now. And no. I am too, but mine is.
No, I'm just mad at you, Griffin. Don't misread my body language.
Mine's not attached to the birthday. Like, my birthday is going to be great.
No, your birthday is when Jesus died.
Dire consequences, potentially. But that's fine.
I will receive the greatest present for this birthday, and Travis will likely receive it too. And you know what, Griffin, you'll even get to open this one, and that's that John Ossoff will get off my nuts. James Carville will retreat. He'll take his talons out of my nuts.
Yeah,
elsewhere.
I'm not gonna say who because I don't want people like telling me about them. But somebody who has Reverend at the start of their name emails me 9 times a day. An exaggeration.
Fresh memes from the Reverend.
Hey, but like, I'm expecting to get like a, hey man, what do you do? Can I borrow a game you've been playing? I'm bored as hell, man.
I am always getting texts and emails from James Carville asking to borrow my video games.
Yes.
He's like, hey man, are you done with Red Dead Redemption 2? And I'm like, that game came out a long time ago. He's like, you got it on Xbox 360? And it's like, why are you, I don't even know
don't
that
even
it came
it
out
came
on
out.
Xbox 360, my man.
I often worry.
You want to play Madden 10 with me? Madden 10?
I often worry that Elizabeth Warren is going to, for some reason, actually personally text me and tell me, like, she ran out of gas and needs my help. But it's just going to pop up in my thing. The notification will just say, hey, Travis, it's me, Elizabeth Warren. And I'll ignore it. And she'll be sitting there like, where is he? I only had enough energy to text one person. And Travis was the last person I texted asking for money. Where is he?
You know, here's something I never considered. Do you think that people Elizabeth Warren texts in her day-to-day life, do you think she is frequently getting responses to her personal text messages that are like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Please.
Stop.
Please.
Unfollow.
Stop to end.
Unsubscribe.
What? This is your wife.
Unsubscribe.
Now it's really James Carville, and I really want to borrow your Xbox.
I have 8 cell phones. That's why it always comes from a different number.
That's what you would. That's what you would say, that's James.
What you would do.
Unsubscribe. I'm standing right in front of you.
I got tricked by one last week, and the opener of the text was a tragic update. Deeply sad about Mark Kelly. It's like, oh fuck, my dog died. And that one I did pop open. They got me on that one.
Yeah. So that's please vote. I mean, we got, you know, we're going to say that, and you already did vote.
But, like, vote good, you know
vote
what I mean?
Good.
Do a good job, I guess.
It's the right way to do it. And fuck, who knows, man, you know?
This isn't political advice. You should vote for people that think the outcome of the election is valid.
Yes.
Yeah,
That's a good start. That's not political.
Vote That's for people, like, and listen, this is a bold, I'm going to take a bold political stance. Vote for people that aren't complete dipshits.
That's good.
That's too much.
That's too political.
Sometimes you're choosing between two dipshits.
Less of a dipshit then.
Anyway, happy birthday. I'm sorry that it got a little bit away from the main topic.
Anyways, back to our birthday. Thank you.
The birthday.
Balloon drop.
Yeah, Travis and I are, Travis, what are you, 39? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you know what age we're going to turn, guys?
42.
The nerds are going to love this one.
Fuck yeah.
It's Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball number, I think.
42.
Yep.
So long.
That's the last, like, big one for 27 years.
And yeah, and then you roll up into 60.
No, I'm looking to see if 69. That was Ken Griffey Jr.'s jersey number, because I'll be really impressed with myself.
You could, Travis, our audience, you just say it is.
Sure. Yeah, no, it totally was.
Literally nobody knows or is going to fact check that or knows how to fact check that.
Oh, it absolutely was not.
Oh, that's fine.
Like, he played for several different teams and it wasn't on any of them.
Dagger.
Okay. Hey, never mind. Hey, look over there. It's an advice show for the modern era. Let's bring that over here.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to our advice show. We're so happy to have you here for this birthday celebration.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're having a regatta for our birthday this year. We're calling it our birthday celebration.
Guys, here in Cap City, it's buzzing.
What is it?
Cap City is what we call Capsaicin? It.
Here in Capsaicin.
Here in Capsaicin, it's buzzing. People are buzzing.
About our birthday? Like,
about your birthday and about Election Day. The schools here take 2 days off for Election Day.
For our birthday?
For Travis's birthday is on Monday, and Justin's birthday, they take Tuesday off.
Yeah, we take turns.
They take time to really observe it. I just want you all to know it's electric. It's electrifying.
Is that what is the energy like there?
Electric and electrifying. People are just out on the street always now, and the parties go all night long. This is like this is like our day. Do you know what I mean? Like,
are you guys allowed to vote? Have you thought about that?
Yes, but the ballot is like a Shoney's Kids menu, and it's like, do you think chocolate milk is good? And we say, we say, yes, it is. And they say, would it be cool to have people like in Congress for you? And we're like, yes, desperately, that would be very cool. And they're like, okay, but how many pancakes do you want? And, you know, I say 3, and it doesn't. Then they take it and they say thank you. They gave me the sticker. They put the menu right in the garbage can.
Oh, do you at least get one of those lollipops where like the stick is a loop at the end?
I do get a safety pop, which is important.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because I can't be trusted to vote for members of Congress, but I clearly can't be trusted to eat like a Dum Dum, a Tootsie Roll pop, a Charms Blow pop, because it's going right down the windpipe.
Yeah, but and like you're running and you trip and that stick. Ooh, boy, that's dangerous.
But we're all having a ton of fun over here. It's a fucking party nonstop.
Oh, wow.
cool energy. I love it. And I love your questions. That's what we're going to answer for you right now in this podcast, which begins now. I dog sit as a side hustle. I don't think you should announce that to the people who you are dog sitting for.
Yeah.
But I think you should just frame it differently. Anyway, a dog sit is a side hustle. I don't currently have my own dog, and I'm not actively looking to adopt, but I really love a few of my regular dog clients. I'm wondering if there's a chill way I could tell their people that if anything were ever happened to them.
Yeah, go on.
I would love to adopt them. Sort of like a dog godmother.
Yep.
It seems like there's something we could do there. We're going to circle back on dog godmother because I'm not loving
there's
it.
There's something there.
And there's some confusing pronoun stuff in there. Just to be clear, what you're saying is, I love the dogs, and I want to let the people know that if anything happens to the people, I'll take the dogs. Okay.
Okay, so is there a chill way to ask about that without it sounding like a tacit threat? Nice dog you got there. Would be a shame if something happened to you in upstate New York.
Listen, when it's a sad thing, but when a pet's owners die.
Go on the Rainbow Road, yeah.
When they go.
It's the Rainbow Bridge, isn't it? Rainbow Road is in Mario.
When humans do it, we go on the Rainbow Road. And we do the trick.
When they get hit by that blue shell on the Rainbow Road.
And you jump the fence on the first lap, and you land on the lower part of the Rainbow Road and just fucking skook your dumbass cousins. And you're like, being dead's awesome! And you're like boosting with Yoshi and Dry Bones. Suck my butt, Bowser. That we do, it is standard practice that the pets are buried with them, with the owners.
Yes, like a pharaoh.
Like a pharaoh, so they can protect us when Charon tries to ferret us across the River Styx, and we're like, I would rather actually hit the Rainbow Road right now. I would have way more fun with that than in your slow-ass canoe, Death. Nice try. I'm out of here.
That's why you do need to challenge Death to some Mario Kart when you get down there to return. Or you could do Smash if that's your thing. But it's Mario Kart and Smash are the only two games that he's got down there on GameCube. So
It's sad. But you need when the Hellbats come at you, you're going to need that dog with you or kitty cat. Kitty cats can
not well. Kitty cat's not going to do much.
The weird part of the conversation will not be the initial opening. It's a little macabre, but I think most people would be like, "Yeah, you know what? If I die, you got my cat, my dog." But what is step two?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a couple different ways it plays out. One is Beth, we'll call her Beth, dies. And then you show up at the funeral and be like, this may seem odd, but it is actually chill. Beth said that if she died, I could have the dog. So I'll go ahead and take that with me. No problem. That's option one. Option two is the owner is like, I guess I need to call my lawyer to put it in the will that you can have my dog.
Is that not a normal thing? Because I have in my will, no joke, where my dogs go if something happens.
Yeah, I mean.
And because mostly I knew it wasn't Justin or Griffin, and I wanted to make that super clear. They're going to dad. Yeah. Deal with it, old man.
Good luck, dad. Enjoy, Carol. You're going to love it. One more on the pile, baby.
Two more, baby. That's four dogs total if something happened today.
Oh, no. I can see out Travis's window. Dad has showed up outside his house with a baseball bat. He's just protecting him with his life. He's buying Travis granola and grapes. Dad is bad at nutrition. Travis, but you did that already, right?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, great, while I'm watching you, could you please call your lawyer and tell them to draft a new will, please? Thank you.
I don't know how to tell you this question, but if something happens to me, I'm leaving whatever to whoever, is not normally a gig economy related thing.
Sure.
It could happen anytime. Not to me, of course, but to other people. And so this idea of it could happen 5 years from now, you've moved. You went somewhere else. And it's just like, hey, I need you to find this person and give them my dog.
Like, you could probably do okay by like showing the dog how to get to your house.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if you could persuade the dog to Incredible Journey.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, you like just you, the motion, the wheels are already.
Now hold on, Justin. It's been a while since I've seen The Incredible Journey, Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, but I don't believe it was, well, looks like it's time for me to move on.
Well, my whole
family.
Let me
check this napkin with a map on it.
Damn, the whole family beefed it, huh? Shit. Well, I have this dog walker I really liked. I think she's in Poughkeepsie. Do you guys know how to get there? Can we
I'll
take
just start moseying along. I'll find it.
Hey, remember me? My whole family died. Can I stay with... No? Okay. Oh, fuck. Well,
Oh, you got your own dog in the last 8 years? Bummer.
Okay, this... you know what? I'm getting out the stamp. This is weird. you can't... I'm sorry. We tried everything. We gave it the old college, but that one's just weird. I'm sorry. You can't do it.
Can't do that one.
Can't do that one.
Can we go to the wizard though?
Yeah.
Because it's not really Halloween anymore. But if you wanted to have like a dark sort of.
I was going to invite the wizard to Thanksgiving.
No. He's still thinking a lot about Halloween. There's a huge banner ad for Cate Blanchett's Tar. On my screen that I can't get rid of, and it's like half the screen.
Oh, when
I
tar,
need to adhere
sticky.
Roof, when I need to adhere roof tiles, or stop one of the wet bandits, I only reach for one brand, and that's Cate Blanchett's Tar. A lot of people said it was strange for me, Cate Blanchett, to create my own line of tar, but when other tars on the target couldn't stack,
you don't know what's in my heart.
You don't know what's in my heart. You don't know what's on my roof.
Acting is what I settled for, but tar is my passion.
It's the stickiest pitch imaginable. I could catch Cinderella on this thing.
Okay.
Cate Blanchett's
tar. I've spent 2 decades perfecting Cate Blanchett's. Everything else has been funding for this moment.
My little secret? It's delicious.
Okay. It's great on your roof, great on toast. Enjoy.
Cate Blanchett's tar.
This is how to act evil. A villain is usually the most fun character to play, but making that kind of evil truly scary and believable takes hard work. If you aren't sure how to act evil for your role, it helps to start from the outside and work inward. Once you have the perfect look for your evil character, you'll be able to focus on creating a sinister persona.
Just like, I want to just create a little asterisk there and say evil character, most fun to play, little asterisk down at the bottom, except Deadpool. Because it looks like Mr. Reynolds is having a blast with that character.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a villain, except Deadpool at the bottom.
So here's the first step, and it is to choose the right clothing. Evil is for the photo on this one, for the little doodle, for the little illustration, they have a dude like pulling off a t-shirt, but it's not like really germane to what the question is about.
Okay.
And I'll slack the image to you guys because it's like that's what you guys went with is just like here wear dark clothing because that's the traditional clothing of a bad boy, but like then they sent this. He's like cut and
whoa.
It's all like right. Choose the right clothing. Evil is typically associated with dark foreboding colors, so when you're planning a costume for a villainous character, that's the color palette that you should start with.
Well, this drawing is like a photo they took too soon. It's like they started drawing it and the guy they were drawing wasn't ready yet.
you see a chest. And then hands are pulling a shirt almost all the way off, and the face
or
is covered.
It is a dark color.
That's true. Yeah, he's probably putting on a dark color. What a bizarre time to draw this image.
This guy, yeah. And let's step out. This is not how to do a costume. I think people who come to this article looking for help want to be a real baddie. And so you got to consider the genre of baddie you want to be when planning your costume. You have to take the type of scene you're working in, as well as the time period into account. For example, while a villain in a Western and an evil character in a futuristic sci-fi play might both wear black. The outfits will likely be very different otherwise. Man, yeah. I wish there really was a futuristic sci-fi play. All plays I go to is just like people singing about like their newspaper going good.
Dad just went and saw Back to the Future in London, which is a pretty futuristic sci-fi play if you ask me.
Unless you know about something that I don't, vis-a-vis like time travel.
Well, no, it's just like the time that he goes to in the future in that movie, we already did do that one. And I would argue that's not so much future sci-fi. But if there was one where like spaceship was there and like they had like a Star Wars music like play with like lightsabers and like Jedi babes and like all that cool shit.
Well, Griffin, I'm sorry, that's not actually futuristic because I don't know if you know the Star Wars actually happened a long time ago.
Okay, but you know what I mean, like spaceship, good future point. Sci-fi.
It's actually historical fiction.
Add sinister accessories, like a spiky eye patch.
Spiky collar,
wallet chain.
Wallet chain sinister, right?
Plaid Vans, fucking JNCO jeans.
Some goggles.
Jamiroquai hat, Jamiroquai style, beliefs, Jamiroquai faith. All it really takes, guys, is a mustard seed of Jamiroquai faith.
That's how you walk on walls and on the ceiling. You just have
to
believe.
True. Go for sleek hair. There may be a variety of hairstyles that work well for your character. A sleek, slick back do is usually a traditional look for an evil character. Pomades work best when slicking back short hair. Clay-based formula gives you
generalization.
Is it?
Yeah, it is like maybe like a 60-40 split. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm going to cut ahead. Well, do develop a menacing stare. That's the last one.
That is important.
Avoid looking away and blinking. It's hard, but if it was easy to be an evil baddie, then everyone would do it.
If I could do that, if I was capable of that, I'd probably be doing a lot better, like, socially. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like,
oh,
I can't.
Oh, yeah.
That's my bad. Like, I can't.
Yeah, if I could stare into people's eyes for more than a second or two without having to then look away, I wouldn't need to be an evil guy.
Yeah.
I could be
If I wasn't always staring at people's eyebrows, I wouldn't have to look directly into their eyes and they would see it.
Let's
you
get
know,
fun.
Oh, the magic
nature.
Let's
the magic
get.
In your
let's
heart.
Have audio fun though, because this is sounding the part. Make your voice deeper. While a specific character might call for a certain type of voice, villains traditionally have deep, throaty voice that makes them sound evil. If you have a naturally deep voice, you probably don't have to alter it much. However, if your voice tends to be higher pitched, try to give it a lower, more menacing sound. That means you
want
to speak
universally.
Deeper. Travis, please, deeper.
Oh, sorry. It's universally. This is also like Batman voice, though. This is also like
Batman's. The Batman's evil to the Jokers of the world.
That's
a good point, Griffin. Hello, brothers.
So let's do a practice here.
I am Batman.
Whoa, shit!
That wasn't me. I don't know what that was.
I just burped the alphabet.
Yeah. I'll get you next time, Gadget.
That's
my Dr. Claw.
Why don't you? You got to do more cartoons. That's probably painful, isn't it?
I can do it for about three seconds. It is literal vocal fry. It fries the inside of my throat doing that.
Sure. Identify your chest register by saying the word whoa in as deep a voice as you can. Okay. Keep your hand on your chest as you speak to feel the vibrations. Repeat the exercise several times. It may help to record yourself so you can listen back to what your voice sounds like. We're doing that.
Okay,
so if
Justin,
we all just want to, like, put your hand on your chest and just, like, go ahead, Juice.
Hello.
Hand on your chest.
No, Justin, hand on chest and say, whoa. Were you paying attention?
Whoa.
Wow, that's really deep.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. That really works.
That really works. Holding it here.
That's
really low.
That's
really low.
It sounds. This might be some of our worst audio yet. Perfect a menacing laugh.
That's really good, Justin.
That's so cool, though. I didn't know I could do that.
I'm glad you're having fun with your voice.
I'm glad your villain arc has begun, Justin. Now you have to be evil because your voice can do that.
Wait until there's villains in the Avengers Zone Steeplechase. You guys are going to appreciate this.
Yeah, you're going to freak out.
No, hey, Justin, please don't break that voice out. It's too scary.
It's too scary. Can you all perfect a menacing laugh for me?
Yeah. No, wait.
But do it like you did in the scary demon voice.
Yeah.
It's gotta be low.
Yeah, it's gotta be low. It's hard to laugh low.
I actually think the most evil thing you can do is to respond like in this way.
That's funny. Oh, that's so funny. You're a really funny person.
I didn't know you were a comedy guy.
Emphasize.
Oh, why didn't they call Family Guy Comedy Guy if it's going to be mostly jokes?
Thank you.
Thanks, Juice. Emphasize the right words when you're trying to act evil. The way you speak your lines is almost as important as the lines themselves. A villainous character should emphasize words that have a threatening connotation or mock the other characters. For example, if you tell another character, "You're pathetic," you may want to make sure you say "pathetic" with a hard edge. So it sounds like you're really twisting the knife.
Or we could hit it another way. You're pathetic.
I don't care what anyone... Don't say, "I'm not pathetic." You're pathetic.
You're the pathetic one. I didn't say you were pathetic.
I know, but I could see it in your eyes. You were looking at me like I was pathetic, but I'm not.
Hey, man. Listen, I don't want to diagnose, but you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I'd like that.
You're a butthole. Stop being a... butthole, Derek.
You're a bully.
What? What'd you say?
You're the bully.
You can't push me around anymore, Derek.
I'm not afraid of you.
What?
I'm not afraid of you anymore, butthole.
Give layers to your anger. An evil character likely carries a great deal of rage. I'm getting lightheaded from doing this. You can't do every scene with
your health.
Uncontrolled anger. Instead, try to give shades to your character's evil rage according to the story. For example, in an early scene, you may just glare at another character to convey your low-key anger. However, as you approach the climax...
Do you want to hear me convey my low-key anger?
Yeah, sure.
Gosh darn it, Thor!
Okay. That's
very good.
Make sure you understand what the character is angry about in every scene. Ooh, hold on, wait, stop. I gotta stop you right there, WikiHow. Because you know how every time anyone plays any Batman villain, it does, like, fuck them up? Like, Paul Dano still has to, like, sleep with all of the lights on. And
ice around his head.
It's so hot. It's because he thought, like, it wasn't just like, I'm going to pretend to be the Riddler. It was also like, but why is the Riddler so angry? But then that seeps into Paul Dano, right? And he's like, I want to punish people with puzzles.
Well, this is why if you're a screenwriter, I don't want to give you notes, but it helps to like write in just directly into the script in like a parentheses, like you're angry here. And then it's like, I don't have to understand it. You just told me. That's great. I know exactly how to read. In fact, if you could just start, screenwriters, start every line with a parentheses of like angry, happy,
horny,
hungry, horny. Anyway, so hungry. I don't have to like internalize it in any way whatsoever. I would love that. That would be great. All my acting work.
Enjoy the pain of others. Part of being truly evil is taking satisfaction.
Enjoy
the
pain of others.
Enjoy the pain of others. When you're trying to act evil, it's important to show how much joy your character gets when other people suffer and convey that even when you don't have any lines that spell it out. Ooh. Now, WikiHow's kind of given you permission, carte blanche, to eat up scenery in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to make it always about you.
Yeah, like in sci-fi future, in Jupiter Ascending, the stage musical, when the dog man like breaks up with Jupiter and she's like, you can't be in the background because then you'll get yelled at.
That actually got me fired as a zombie extra in Walking Dead. Every time somebody would get hurt, my zombie would go, ha, 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 ha. And they're like, the zombies don't really laugh, Travis, if you could not. And I'm like, but what is more
and
evil?
And you shout it out like, fuck them up, zombie Michael. And they're like, that's not how the show works.
I was like well, I was just trying to deepen like the bond between the zombies. And maybe we could have some scenes of just the zombies interacting. And they're like, that's not really... what we do, and I'm like, not maybe it's time to change. You've been going 19 seasons.
Go ahead, Juice.
I will say, just for the purposes of argument, though, if you learn to derive joy from the pain of others, and you can still derive joy from the happiness of others,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like a pretty nice life you'd be living.
You're pretty happy.
Like,
sounds like you've got a recipe for being happy all the time.
I mean, if everyone does it, that stinks. But one or two
people. Someone's
got to do it, yeah?
I'm just saying, like, if there were more villains in movies and TV shows that just seemed happy all the time,
yeah.
Is that so bad? Because, like, Lex Luthor seems kind of annoying
all the time. Holy shit, Travis. Top Community Q&A. I want to be evil, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. What can I do? You can be evil in a broad sense. Seek world domination instead of hurting people individually. The best evil is insidious and seems good. For example, in DC Comics, Lex Luthor is not evil. In his own mind, he's looking out for the good of humanity against the evil alien who has come from Krypton to enforce his vision of justice on our world.
Yeah. He's not explicitly evil, just xenophobic and racist.
He's bad in a lot of ways.
But he doesn't murder banks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's like in that top 0.1% of wealth, and he could be doing way more with his money.
Sure.
But instead, he runs for president and hates illegal aliens.
Right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Find some humanity for the characters, the last tip. Don't do that. That's weak.
No,
shit.
Boring.
I hate that shit when it's like in Lord of the Rings when Sauron is like, you know.
This is my puppy.
He's like, I'm just doing it for my daughter. It's like, I was really enjoying.
Who do you want me to root for now?
Right, exactly.
I need the cure to her. Okay, man.
Because when Frodo cuts his fucking head off.
Right.
Am I supposed to feel confused about that?
When Samwise is like doing the like, you know, I'm crouching over you so it looks like I'm farting on you and putting my butt on your face because we beat you.
Yeah.
I want to cheer for that wholeheartedly. I don't want to have a moment of like, well, but his daughter was kidnapped or whatever.
Mr. Freeze is the perfect example of
this.
You never, ever, ever see Mr. Freeze like making a throne of ice, living it up, enjoying frozen foods. Like, that's not him. Every time you see this motherfucker, it's always like, single crack in my globe, frozen tears on the ground, probably a rose.
Yeah.
I'm really sad. It's like such a bummer.
And I've written some poems. Oh my God.
I wrote poems.
And he's like,
but my wife died.
And it's like, yeah, a lot of people's wives died because of your
Batman's
cold.
Batman's parents died.
Because of your cold gun you made.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey. Since we're on the subject of Batman organically.
Thank you.
Can we just take a second to talk about Pennyworth? Because I kind of lost it a little bit today. Everyone knows that that there's a network called Epix.
Yeah.
E-P-I-X that made a show called Pennyworth.
Yeah.
That is the
and
show.
And the subtitle, if I'm not mistaken.
No. Don't say it yet. Don't say it yet.
Okay.
Because that subtitle is new. Newly introduced.
I just want to say I don't know about this channel, show, or subtitle of the show.
Okay, Griffin, welcome. This is so good. Pennyworth is a series about Alfred.
Right.
Batman's butler.
Figure that out.
Yeah.
It is now in it. I thought it got a season, and then everyone was like, what happened?
An origin story for
away.
Alfred?
Today, I see ads for, they're on season 3. HBO Max exclusive, but in season three, there's a new subtitle, and it is The Origin of Batman's Butler. Now, this is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, Pennyworth is the rare show that's probably better the less you know about it.
Yeah.
Probably once you start thinking about they did a show about Batman's Butler, it starts to feel kind of bad to watch. But now, the fact that they're like, we got to get more people in, maybe now we should reveal that this is actually a story about Batman's butler.
Maybe the producers just got sick of answering the question like, who? And they're like, Batman's butler? And they're like, you know what? We're just going to put it right there on the 10. Don't worry about
it. So is it
we'll
like
make anything.
He like learns how to like make tea and clean up a mess when
I think he's maybe like a spy.
Yeah, they've done a lot of retconning with Pennyworth and Pennywise in the last couple years, where it's just like he's a fucking sniper sharpshooter murderer
extremely
guy.
Deadly cool dude.
I
don't want to know if it's good. If you watch it, I don't want to know. I got lots of things I'm watching. Don't defend it because I've never seen it. I'm not attacking it. I'm saying conceptually ruinous.
Now that I've said it though, I would like an Alien versus Predator Pennyworth v Pennywise. If we could just work that out, even if it's just animated, I would love that.
This is my butler,
please.
Alfred Pennywise. Yeah, I love that.
That scares the shit out of me.
God. Has Batman ever fought Pennywise? Two masters
yes.
of fear.
I'm
Mono
yes.
y Clowno, just going at it.
I mean, Batman spends a lot of time in the sewer. He's definitely encountered Pennywise before, right?
How much do you want to bet Batman just like, I can't.
Nope.
Just
not today.
I don't see that. I don't see that.
No, not my fight. No,
I'm not doing it. Nope, something else.
Let's take a look at the power rankings. One, Scarecrow is Pennywise, and he's kicked his ass before. So, and the other thing is that Pennywise got his ass beat by, I think, like four dipshit kids.
Yeah.
Who then grew up to be kind of dipshit adults, and they killed him again. So it's like, and none of them were, let me check.
Hey, spoilers.
None of them were Batman. One of them was Bill Hader. So, like, you know, great. Love Bill Hader, but
not Batman.
Yeah. Okay, so Justin here has a... Oh, okay. This is helpful. Let's see. This is a Quora article. Juice, you found it.
Yeah, it's just called How Would the Battle Go Between Pennywise and Batman?
There you go.
And there is no further clarification. It's just like, what's up?
Yeah. So, and then there's just like, they agree with me. They fucks up Scarecrow. He scares now, people. He is scarier than Pennywise to a lot of people. So it's like,
by the way, the article does, in fact, verbatim say, here is Batman fucking up Scarecrow.
Yeah. But I would argue that there is a fundamental, this article begins with answer one. But let me ask you something. It says in an answer, tricky. Is there anything that the vigilante of Gotham, the Dark Knight, is scared of? No. But yes, right? Like,
yeah, sure.
We routinely see Batman fucked up.
Man.
He's afraid of shit.
Do all Quora articles have so many fucking kick-ass bitchin' pictures of Batman in them? This fucking article's got like two dozen pictures of Batman in it.
Guys, the first question asker has written how the fight would go. If I may.
Oh, please.
May I?
Yes.
Location, Gotham City. Pennywise confronted a homeless kid and said, do you want a balloon, little boy? The boy, seeing Pennywise's wicked smile, started to cry and run away. Pennywise then transformed into a bizarre monster, laughed in a scary voice, and chased the kid to a small and dark alley.
Is this written in past tense?
Yeah, yes. And it's written in between some of the most fucking radical, bitchin', badass Batman picks I've ever seen.
Thought he would be done for until a shadow of bat suddenly appeared. A bat-shaped logo showed on the dark clouds.
Whoa! These are bitchin' pictures of Batman. Griffin wasn't lying.
Look at
this. He was standing there on the roof of a house.
Shit, yes.
The Dark Knight showed up. Pennywise started roaring angrily. He tried to attack the Caped Crusader, but Batman dodged it all.
Yes, get
the
out
crazy
of there.
Clown then received some big sucker punches from Batman, just like this monster right here.
And now there's cool pictures of Batman beating the ass of some unknown beast.
Killer Croc, I would guess.
Maybe Killer Croc. It's not Pennywise, but like I think logic would dictate, by the transitive property, if Batman could beat this monster's ass, Pennywise would be dirt in the ground.
Yep.
Taking too much damages, Pennywise growled angrily, why? Why can't I sense your fear?
Why did you sound like Batman for Pennywise? I guess they do sound
similar. I was trying to just do my villain voice.
Yeah, sure.
I'll take all of you. I'll feast on your flesh as I feed on your fear. Not stopping, Batman took out some explosive
batarangs. My God. Whoa, let's look at this next picture of Pennywise.
Yeah, Pennywise turned into this mushy potato and begged Batman to spare him.
There's a picture of Pennywise as a mushy potato, and then the next picture is Batman, and over it, in what I think maybe Joker font, it says, what's wrong? Scared.
And then it says, Batman said this in a cold voice. So, Griffin, if you could again, in a cold voice.
What's wrong? Scared.
Then he finished the clown.
I can't see his kills. Oh, my God. Guys?
Yeah.
And there's a picture of Batman walking away from what
an
is
explosion.
Presumably an explosion that has just killed Pennywise.
He blew up Pennywise. Right next to this, in a box labeled related questions, are... How would an encounter between the Joker and Pennywise play out? How would Batman defeat Pennywise? What if the Joker met Pennywise? Who would win in a fight, Pennywise or the Joker? Who would win, Pennywise, parentheses it, versus Deadpool? What would happen if Superman met Pennywise? Not fought, but if Superman, I guess, ran into Pennywise at the supermarket?
Yeah, I'll tell you who wins between Pennywise and Deadpool, and that's me at the theater with my kids, having the time of my life, laughing. Loving, learning. Darth Vader versus Pennywise. That seems pretty straightforward. I don't know. This is fun. I wish we did a show that was just like fights. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't it be better?
It would be better.
It's just like people fighting.
Yeah, sure.
To tell them who's winning it. Hey, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with a lot more show. The party's just getting started right after this.
Listen, I know we're all pretty hyped up right now thinking about Batman beating the ass of this horrible clown that scared my kid so fucking much, and I would love it if this happened, but we need to bring it down a little bit because this is an ad for Calm, and I'm not there. Like, I'm not in the right headspace for it. So if we could work through it together, maybe let's do a simple breathing exercise. Let's breathe in through our noses and hold it for about 5 seconds and exhale through the mouth.
Yeah, try not to think about all the Pennywises you saw while trick-or-treating, and you weren't sure if any of them was the real Pennywise enjoying his time on the upside.
Damn it, Travis.
He wouldn't get picked. Yeah?
Damn it, Travis. We're partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. Reduce stress and anxiety through guided meditations. Think about Batman protecting you, so strong. Improve focus with curated music tracks, and rest and recharge with Calm's imaginative sleep stories for children and adults. There's even new daily movement sessions designed to relax your body and uplift your mind. And I enjoy Calm. Sometimes I don't feel calm. I'm really fucking freaked out about the world and the sewer monsters.
Don't do this here.
No one needs your baggage, Griffin. This is the time for Calm.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm just saying that Calm can fix that.
When you load the app, listen, this is the background of the app. Listen.
It's just like I'm camping with Pop-Pop again.
Nice.
Yeah.
Makes you feel so chill.
Yeah.
For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer, 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/mybrother. That's calm.com/mybrother for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/mybrother.
Kaboom! Know what that sound is? It's the bomb bus going off. You want to get socks? You want to get undies? You want to get fucking comfortable?
Oh boy.
Time to set off the bomb bus.
Man, I
that's my new slogan that they refuse to even take my calls about regarding Bombas. Now, this is explosively comfortable socks, underwear, some beautiful t-shirts. They got good stuff too. This is quality material. You want the Pima cotton? Yeah, no problem. Ultra soft, never itchy merino wool. Oh, I just stocked up on these guys. They got some holiday prints. Just stocked up on them because I did my, you know how once a year you take all your short socks and put them in a big bag and then take out your jeans socks and put them in the drawer and then you do that every 6 months? I just got ready for my big switch as we go into the cooler months, and Bombas is right there helping me to restock my wardrobe for all my holy socks.
Okay,
sprung for Bombas quality at the beginning, you know what I mean? I shouldn't have settled for second best. Give the good this holiday season with Bombas. Go to bombas.com/mybrother and use code mybrother for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/mybrother. Code my brother for 20% off. Bombas.com/mybrother. Code my brother.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation.
Hello, I'm Lori Kilmerton.
We do a podcast called The Jackie and Lori Show, and you could listen to it anytime you wanted because there's hundreds of episodes.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing comedy forever, and we should both quit. So why don't you listen up before we leave this not only terrible business, but this awful world.
And find out why we can't. Because we love it so.
Jackie and Lori Show, every week here on MaximumFun.org.
Hi, it's Jesse Thorne, the founder of Maximum Fun. I am breaking into this programming to say thank you to Max Fund's members. Your purchases in this year's Post Max Fund Drive patch sale raised over $50,000 for Trans Lifeline. Maybe you already know about the good work that Trans Lifeline does. If you don't, they're a trans-run organization that offers direct emotional and financial support to trans people in crisis. If you want to learn more about the work Trans Lifeline does or support them further, go to translifeline.org. Thanks for supporting Maximum Fun. Thanks for supporting Trans Lifeline. And thanks for being awesome people who want to do good in the world.
Boys, before we continue the rest of the episode, you know, we've hit on a big question here, and I know an expert about this kind of thing that I want to bring in.
We usually read the question.
No. This is a question we discussed before the break, and we're just going to touch on that, and then if we have other things to ask, we will. But first, let me call Griffin Newman. Let me see. Boop, 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 boop.
Bring. I didn't know you had a phone. I thought Justin was the only one with the phone.
Click.
Hi, is this Griffin Newman?
Hi, yes. Hi, who is it?
Hi, it's Travis McElroy, your favorite brother from the My Brother and Me.
Oh, my number one in the ranking. I think of you as the my brother, the first yes. my brother.
Thank you very
title.
Much.
Wow.
I'm so glad. Oh, wait a second. Who is someone else on the line?
Pretty funny. Oh, yeah,
hey,
sorry.
Hey, I had speaker.
Yeah, I had to loop Justin and Griffin in too. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Basically, we were discussing before the break what would happen if Batman fought Pennywise, and then it become a much bigger question about if the Joker met Pennywise and Scarecrow met Pennywise.
And then when I started talking about Pennyworth, Griffin, how much do you think about Pennyworth? The fact that
you're
there's
talking
a show about
Pennyworth, the origins of Batman's butler?
Yes, correct. Yes,
the origin
you.
Of Batman's butler. Yes.
Yes.
I love. I think about it a fair amount. I think a thing that is under discussed with Pennyworth, the origins of Batman's butler, is that show existed for two full seasons.
Yes. Yes.
On a channel no one watches, just called Pennyworth.
Yes.
And then they decided for season three, we're going to put it on HBO Max.
Right.
Treat it like this is new and go like, I guess the reason people didn't like this is because the title lacked context. Everything else, we were killing it in every other regard.
Now well, I mean, that is the tradition that has been established with the Epics to HBO Max pipeline that we have seen
the cleanest
so
pipelines
many
in America.
Is it, yeah. I guess I want to know, as somebody who did a guest spot on a series that was pulled from HBO Max so they didn't have to pay me residuals, how many me's could you have paid by just not doing more Pennyworth?
Like, yeah.
If you're going to, why not like leave Infinity Train and then just not do any more? Hey, I refuse to believe anyone watches it. Refuse.
Of course. I was on every episode of Vinyl, the HBO series, which also has gotten...
All of them?
I think I was on maybe 9 out of 10. I believe... I mean, most of them, I stood in the background and smoked a cigarette, and they went, sorry, we couldn't find anything
fucking
for you
cool,
in this one.
Dude.
Yeah, it was cool as shit.
And if you would leave the set, that would be great. You weren't hired on this show. Why do you keep showing
so
up?
So you're on 9 out of 10, maybe all Vinyls.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. That was one of the first shows that got Zaslavd in this recent culling of this show is not worth the money it takes to print the residual checks for 5 pennies. Because it's true, you do the math on it and you're like, it's not that you're losing money by paying me residuals. You're basically saying it costs too much money to hire someone to calculate how many pennies you're paying me, and then the paper itself costs more.
They're calculating your penny worth, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God, that was fantastic. I actually did want to ask you about something, Griff, while we got you on here.
Please. Yeah. And let's just for clarification, Griff 2, so that Griffin gets.
Yeah.
Well, they don't call him Tooman. I'm not the first Griffin Newman. He's not Tooman.
So, okay, you don't know. You know what? No, for the sake of this episode, Griffin, if you're comfortable with this, how about you're Griffin Oneman and I'm Griffin Tooman? Just so
like
there's
that.
A kind of consistency. Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. And we should establish you're in Disenchanted, and that's like the whole reason you're here.
Disenchanted, Disney Plus original film premiering November 18th. I'm the voice of a talking chipmunk.
That's good.
That's good.
It's good.
Travis, let's soak that in for a second. His name's Pip. It's good. It's good that he's casting that.
I'm very excited.
I hear
about
there's
it.
A rumor, according to IMDb, there's a rumor that Alan Tudyk plays a Skrull.
Correct.
Don't give me any dirt. I want to go in blind.
Okay.
When I want to say, Griffin, when the movie was announced, I saw you tweeted a picture of Pip, and you, I believe, captioned it, "It me." Mm-hmm. And I did not originally assume that meant you had been cast in that role.
I thought it was like more of a big mood thing.
Yeah, you just like identified very closely with the energy of Pip the Chipmunk.
No, which I do. I mean, because it was a photo from the first movie where he's standing in front of a plate of pastrami at Katz's Deli with his arms spread out.
I want to know what happened to the last guy that played Pip.
It's
probably canceled.
Story. No,
with
you know what
culture
it is?
These days? Are you kidding
That's
me?
So hard.
The real Pip.
I'll give you some. It's not very salacious, but in the first movie, so for those who haven't seen it, Enchanted is like a fish out of water movie.
Yeah.
Amy Adams plays Princess Giselle, and she exists in a cartoon, hand drawn Disney fairy tale princess universe.
It's amazing. It's a great
movie. And she falls through a portal and ends up in real New York. And then the whole thing is, here's what if a Disney princess had to exist in the real world in New York? At the beginning of the movie, in the hand-drawn sort of musical-y section, she's got a bunch of little animal friends like Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, her whole coterie of animal friends. And Pip is her little chipmunk friend who's, "Light's cracking, New York accent, Kyle, what are you talking about here?" kind of thing. He's got like three or four lines.
Are we talking to Pip now?
Yes, is Pip here?
No, Pip can join the call. Pip can join the call. If need be.
I'd rather not. I would rather die.
Yeah,
let's not pull the
lift. Okay.
Pip is off the call. Pip is officially disconnected from the call. But so he only has like three or four lines. And then the bit is that when he falls through the portal and goes into the real world, he is now bound to the rules of the real world. He can't talk.
Okay.
So for most of the movie, Pip is mute. Okay. There's a great voice actor.
He squeaks.
Okay. He squeaks. So this is the thing. So the director of the first movie, Kevin Lima, did all the squeaking.
Oh.
And then a great voiceover actor named Jeff Bennett did the voice for the couple of lines at the beginning of the movie. It's only at the beginning. He did like Johnny Bravo. He's like one of the best voice actors in the world. But there was this weird thing
It's streaming. They can't afford him. Get Griffin.
Yeah.
Probably. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you're jumping to the end of the story here, but yeah, basically. But it was like, two guys had played Pip. There wasn't a clear chain of command. There's a different director on this movie. It's been 15 years.
Yeah.
I truly, the way I got the part was I was asked as a favor to fill in at the table read when they were hoping to find a famous person to do it.
And then they
sort of called me a week later and went like,
how did you psych yourself up with like, Griffin, if you nail this, you're going home with this part. Did you walk yourself through that? Or is it just like, just always putting it out there 24/7? It doesn't matter. You only know how to bring your A game. That's all you have. Only buckets.
I try to get buckets whenever I can. We're speaking honestly here. It was a little column A, a little column B, right? I get this phone call from my friend who's the producer on the movie, and he was the producer on The Tick as well. And he goes like, "You'd be doing me a really big favor if you could jump on this Zoom and do this table read." And basically said to me, there's no job here. There's no job
here. That's what they want. They want to see if you'll still bring the buckets.
That's the thing. It was sort of the test. And it was like, there's no job here, but you'd be on a Zoom in front of Disney people and in front of Amy Adams and, you know, maybe, you know, make a good impression for something else down
the line. Didn't care about Dempsey? Just Adams? Like, Dempsey will be
Dempsey, there. Marsden, Menzel,
Oscar
Maya
Nunez
Rudolph.
From The Office.
Oscar Nunez. Yes. So that was how it was.
Maybe Alan Tudyk. I don't want to know.
We don't.
Tudyk was not yet, which was exciting when he came on later. But
no spoilers, Griffin.
I'm sorry. I have no idea
to
if
do
Tudyk's
something.
In this movie or not.
He might have been a key grip. We don't know.
I have no idea.
Sometimes he just shows up.
But so they say that to me, and my calculation in my head, Juice, wasn't, can I steal this part? The limits of my ability at the moment, how far I would allow myself to imagine was, if I fucking nail this read, maybe they let me be the guy who holds the puppet off camera for reference.
Okay.
Oh, Griffin.
Yeah.
You truly. The sky captain in the world of tomorrow
Absolutely. I was like, well, this character's animated. Yeah. If they hire a more famous person to do the voice, they're not going to want to be there on set. Yes. I can be the reference voice.
do the
and I'll
work.
Hold the puppet.
You
and
could
I was
be,
like,
you could be the Kabethany Olsen, the third of the Olsen triplets. They only use for two shots exactly. from behind.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that I was gotcha. My whole. That was my strategy, and this is coming like right out of lockdown. I've just gotten vaccinated, and I'm like, the idea of anyone hiring me to be anywhere is exciting. Right. So I don't need to be in this movie. Bring me on this set. And then like, yeah, like a week after the thing, they called me and they just said like, you're so cheap. This is so much easier if we just hire you.
Did they really say that, Griffin, to your face?
They didn't say that. They didn't say that. But that was the underlying reality is we could save a lot of money that we can sure. redistribute to the CGI.
And
if we just have you do it. Yeah, it's Dempsey.
It's hard because they not, like I, as people who've been in films, it's hard knowing that you're in that position because we would do anything for free, right?
Yes. Yes.
So anytime we're not in a movie,
yeah,
that's someone said that's another person who has voted like
to spend money on nothing, essentially. Nothing.
Like I'd rather them not be in the movie for nothing. There's no they would detract every movie that was released without my presence in it means that the director thought my presence in it would detract from the film.
You were not worth $0.
They made the decision to invest money into having someone who is better at acting and voice acting than any of the three of us.
Well, but Griffin, I would say statistically, Griffin Wundman. Griffin Wundman, there have been plenty of movies that have gone over budget in history, right?
Sure.
Those over budget movies went over budget instead of having Justin in them.
And that's almost what I'm more saying. Offensive. It's almost it's more ridiculous. Offensive that they would rather lose money.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you about something while we got you.
Let's not do the question we had picked out. I only want to hear Griffin Tooman's thoughts about Pennywise v. Batman.
I'm into all the answers. Yeah.
Let's call an audible. Okay. We're going to ask you a question about Pickles that was going to be really irreverent and fun and probably would have a good time with it. But I only want to talk about Batman v. Pennywise, the incredibly important Supreme Court case that was foundational for the fate of our country.
Batman v. Pennywise, Dawn of Justice. Look, first of all, I appreciate you buffering, giving me some time, asking some disenchanted questions so I could really stew on this one.
It was hard for me to focus.
Was that November 18th? Did you say that?
November 18th, Disney Plus original film streaming everywhere. Yeah.
It was hard for me to focus on any of that because I was really.
Well, I know. And I was sort of talking, but as I was in my head, I was just doing the math because I worry if I.
The Travis.
Yeah. Exactly. Travis approach. Yeah.
If I had answered right away, I think my answer would have been rash and stupid and poorly thought out. And now I've really had some time to sit on this. We all know that obviously the Joker is Batman's greatest enemy, right? Yes.
Yeah.
The Clown Prince of Crime.
The Clown Prince of Crime. I mean, the things that make us cry make him laugh.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, what? The greatest character in American drama, I mean, has now become our number one.
And funniest.
The funniest. Can't forget the scariest. The serious. The most serious. Why so serious?
Sometimes too serious, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But I think this is that thing. With the Joker, there's that balance where you do feel like the guy is trying to entertain you. It's a thing I like about the Joker is that he has bits. Even when he's doing violent stuff or mean stuff, or dare I say it, illegal things.
Whoa.
Right. No, I mean, he does crime, guys.
Yeah, he does crime.
Under man's laws, not God's.
But he's bringing props, right? Yeah. He's got the fish with the lipstick. He's doing little turns of phrase, all that
stuff. The bang gun.
Right.
The bang gun. And he's got a shtick. He's got an outfit, a persona. He's doing a whole thing.
Blow up Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Funny. Hilarious.
Like, funny. Funny. I think Pennywise, despite falling into this evil clown trope.
Yeah.
Is Pennywise ever intentionally trying to be funny?
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that angle. Mm.
And so I'm trying to do the math in my head and go, would Batman hate Pennywise more or less? Because Pennywise is kind of just straight chaos, whereas Joker is putting on a show. Like,
this is
Batman.
It's interesting that you are weighing this in a conversation about who would beat whose ass.
No, I
because
like
it's
this,
it is interesting to think about like the sport of boxing.
Yes,
is if one of the boxers hates the other one much more, He'll then it will increase the ferocity of their
this
blows.
This is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And because like, Batman doesn't have powers, as we know, right? He's got the gadgets.
Well, he's very rich. Which
the ultimate power.
We know this. It makes someone very powerful.
Power in our broken society. But then he also, you know, he is driven by this rage, this sense of vengeance. So I'm like, that's the special move meter, right?
Right.
I'm just saying, I think there's something to the fact that not only is the Joker so twisted, but the Joker annoys Batman. Like, the bits drive him crazy. That fills up the special move meter.
The bits are also like, you know, they say that the Joker is like all chaos, right?
Right.
But it seems like the Joker is working pretty hard
on this.
To do his bits.
This is
Batman
what I'm
is the one who's like, I'm going to just punch this gift.
What if the reason Batman is so annoyed by the Joker is the Batman does find Joker funny and he's trying so hard to keep a straight face.
Right.
Because that's like his whole bit.
Yeah. Canonically, the only time he ever busted up at the Joker, he fucking kills him.
Yeah.
The only time he ever in history busts up at the Joker, he's like, good one, Joker. Snap.
It made him so angry that the Joker made him laugh. Whereas, like, Pennywise, I wonder if it's just like, well, this is a bad guy. So to a certain degree, it's a little more passionless. It's a little more routine whipping this guy's ass.
Okay.
Because Pennywise, like, you know, is just hanging out in a fucking sewer grate going like, come here, kid.
Yeah.
Which is bad. Which is bad.
Terrible. But he's not, like, juggling. He's not doing, like, pantomime.
He's not committing real crimes. I see what you're saying.
Right. And he's also not leading with, I'm pretending like I'm a normal clown. He's kind of upfront, just creepy monster in the guise of decrepit clown. You know?
Right. That's interesting.
And I wonder if that pisses Batman off less, and for that reason, it's more of just a routine ass-whooping.
We are assuming, also, that Pennywise, were he would appear today on the day that Batman lives, that he would be this clown, right? Because I feel like he would definitely come as a Fortnite guy.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, I think that he could manifest in any shape.
Yeah.
I think he would probably manifest as Steve from Minecraft or like a Fortnite kind of guy.
Yeah. Interesting. Or like Burger Boss from Fortnite. He'd pick one of the funny ones. Peel
one of the funny ones.
Yeah.
The ones that bust you up.
Man cakes.
Deadpool.
I love man cakes.
Deadpool.
Right. I think if he does that, like Batman would beat the shit out of Deadpool. Deadpool would drive Batman crazy. I think if Pennywise is affecting a persona like that, if he is coming in as like Beef Boss, Batman will get riled up.
Yeah.
If he's just a creepy child abductor, I think Batman's heart's in it a little less. But
does he still win, though?
Well, here's the wrinkle I want to put in. Batman rarely goes up against truly supernatural.
Yeah.
Right.
Pennywise has moves that maybe are outside of Batman's wheelhouse.
I mean, Clayface, Ra's al Ghul.
Clayface is science.
Right. Ra's al Ghul is
Killer Croc.
Science.
Killer Croc has a skin mutation. You leave him alone.
Killer Croc, science. Mr. Freeze, science. Riddler, just a
guy with a hot brain.
Ra's al Ghul is the guy who found a pit. That's, right.
Yeah.
But he's not. It's,
take him away from the pit. He's just like you or me.
Exactly.
Listen, and everybody's got pits when we get down to it, metaphorically speaking.
Of course.
Do you think Batman ever encounters a villain who's just like a guy robbing a bank and he's like, what's your stick? He's like, what do you mean? It's like, what are you? Or you're robbing man. No, I'm just, my name's Doug and I'm robbing this bank. I don't know what
I
to
need
do with
money.
This.
I have no marketable skills.
It's just like a regular crime. This isn't really a Batman thing.
Okay.
It's a
regular crime. I'm going to go. Why is everybody in Gotham robbing banks at night? That doesn't
Gentleman,
make any sense.
Gentleman Ghost is a Batman villain. And I don't think you guys could convince me that that's not
Callum Shade.
That is a good pull. I for the listener at home, you did just spend a minute locking in on clearly an extensive Google search trying to find out. You went off into a
supernatural
place.
Well, okay, I Googled supernatural Batman villains. The number one is fucking Ra's al Ghul, because he can do magic and is immortal and shit.
Yeah, but consistently, Ra's al Ghul gets away from Batman. Or, like, sometimes via death.
This is a good point. Ra's al Ghul is one of the slipperiest Batman foes. Batman rarely gets the better of him. I think the supernatural... And Gentleman Ghost, it's like... I think it's a bad day for Batman when Gentleman Ghost shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Penguin
yeah.
is like, I know what to do with this guy. Yeah. I know his moves, right? Gentleman Ghost is slippery, and I wonder even just like, I don't think Pennywise is stronger than Batman, but I think if Pennywise starts doing that fucking dance, Batman just might be thrown off his axis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, we are, I think, all in our minds imagining Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Of course.
I don't know that we are imagining Tim Curry. Obviously iconic. Tim Curry, Pennywise, like, incredible. Not the physicality isn't there so much for me.
With Curry, you're saying.
You imagine Curry and
his is more of a cerebral terror.
Yes, I was actually
Bill
thinking
Skarsgård,
Keaton as well. Yes.
When Bill Skarsgård does his like hit and starts like, you know, flossing and doing orange
we got to start recording, guys. Seriously, we're going to run out of time. Griffin, welcome to the show, Griffin Newman. Sorry we don't have more time to chat. Real quick, got to rush you on through November 18th, Disenchanted.
Yes. Pip the Chipmunk now talks the entire film. Through
now,
magic.
Wow. More chipmunk.
More chipmunk. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have to ad lib some?
I did. Yeah. I got a couple in there.
Don't you hate that? Like, you guys had months to write this. Just two good jokes in the script the first time.
I got the one I'm proud of, I think I got a sciatica joke in there.
Yes. Are any D's nuts? Come on, Tim. I tried. All right. Maybe can you record a few as Pip D's nuts jokes that then our fans can,
we can use for stingers.
Cut in and like use it as TikTok. Oh, TikTok. That'll go super viral if you just give us some of those.
Yes. Okay, so I just want to contextualize this before I
set up the
I
scene
this.
For us. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the context will be in it every time we play it.
Of course. Of course. Sure, don't worry. No, you cannot divorce the context from this. So to the many Disney executives listening to this episode right now, of course, when I'm about to talk about D's nuts, the nuts I'm speaking of are the nuts that Pip the Chipmunk burrows and stores in his hollowed out tree home.
Yeah, 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 sure, sure, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
You cannot interpret this any other way.
No.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want some bofa?
We don't even need the
punchline. That's it. That's actually perfect.
Perfect.
Griffin Newman, thank you. Disney Plus, Disenchanted, November 18th. Catch it.
Fun for the whole family.
Thanks to Griffin Newman for the fantastic segment that we've already recorded, and it is good.
Whew. Yeah, definitely.
What was your guys' favorite joke from it?
I liked when Griffin Newman talked about which one of us was his favorite brother. No spoilies.
Wait, you've already heard it. You already heard it, so it's already spoiling. Thank you so much, Griffin. Make sure you watch Disenchanted on the Disney Plus. Suze is live.
I can't wait. I can't wait either.
I don't think I've ever done this before, but there are not going to be new episodes of our shows next week. We are taking our first ever staff retreat. And I know you might think, you guys going to fucking Kennywood? The three of you guys going to Kennywood? You have to take a whole week off for that? No, we're not. Well, us and all the people that we work with making the shows that you enjoy, we live all over this dang globe and mostly the country. And we don't get a chance to like see each other and have big talks about life and God and stuff. And the future of podcasting and stuff. And so after our tour, which we're going to tell you about also here in just a moment, we're going to have no new content for the week of November 14th. And we'll be back with new episodes starting November 21st. And so we hope you'll
Don't get it twisted. We take weeks off all the time.
Sure.
But the people who work with us, this is a everyone taking a week off. Because that way they don't have to do the work either.
Yes. So we'll be back with new episodes starting November 21st. Here's another. Who wants to do this next one? Is it Pip?
I do. I'm very excited. Once again, Candle Nights coming up. We're in that Candle Night season. It's going to be virtual again, so everyone can see it. And it's going to be December 17th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Tickets on sale now. at bit.ly/candlenights2022. Just a reminder, all proceeds from Candle Nights go to Harmony House in our hometown of Huntington, West Virginia, helping people who are experiencing homelessness and all kinds of other services. So bit.ly/candlenights2022. It's going to be absolutely fun. I can't wait. You're going to love it. We're going to love it. Everyone's going to love it. Speaking of things that are awesome and great, we have lots of new merch over there. Shrimp ornament, Bureau of Balance metal ornament, and a Candle Nights ornament that's designed by Brie Paulson, the proceeds of which also go to Harmony House. And 10% of all merch proceeds this month go to Natives, which promotes Indigenous Foodways education and facilitates Indigenous food access. All of that and more at McElroyMerch.com.
Hey, also, we're going on tour this week. We're going to be doing Mabim Bam in Cincinnati, Detroit, and in Washington, D.C. And then we're going to be doing Taz in Washington, D.C. here.
Let's talk openers, too. Let's talk openers.
We're going to have Sawbones opening at all the Mabim Bams. Mabim Bams. We're going to have Schmanners up in Cincinnati. We're going to have Wonderful here in Washington, D.C. Before Mabim Bam. It's going to be a hoot. Taz is going to be Dadlands 2 featuring returning DM Brennan Lee Mulligan. I cannot wait for that. It's going to be a blast. Go get
you
some.
Have to.
I do have to wait. And hey, we also have rescheduled the San Jose and Denver shows that we postponed. We're going to be in San Jose doing Taz with Abria Iyengar on April 27th. We're going to be in San Jose doing Mabim Bam on April 28th. And then April 29th, we're going to be doing Mabim Bam in Denver. If you have tickets already for those shows, they will be honored for the new dates. If you can't attend, you can request a refund at the point of purchase. And if you don't have tickets, but you want to go now that we have new dates, tickets are on sale now. For all those shows, mask and proof of full vaccination or a negative COVID test within 72 hours of event start is required. Go to macroy.family and you'll be able to find links to all of our tours and stuff.
And finally, don't forget to pre-order The Adventure Zone 11th Hour, theadventurezonecomic.com. Pre-order it now.
Comes out February 21st, next year. So please don't wait. It helps us a lot. Thanks. Thank you.
Take us home, Griffin.
Take us home, Griffin. One last big...
I actually think I did a lot this episode.
Oh, okay. So, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. That place on the beach... where there's only one set of footprints, that's you, my man. Fuck sand. You're bigger than it. You don't have to be afraid of sand anymore. Stomp on that sand, baby.
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.